today on Real Radio.
Isn't it amazing? After every trial you go through, you're a little bit more effective in your Christianity. And we are so funny because we hate the trial. We're in the midst of it. The testing, can't stand it. But the moment it's over, it's like, all right. And we shine for him, and we're somebody different now.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 3, continues a series called The Book of Acts. Now, the Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In Part 1 of A Witnessing Church, we were introduced to the apostle Stephen, a man full of faith, power, and wisdom. In Part 2, we saw how, like Jesus, Stephen shared the message of salvation both in love and compassion. Now in Part 3, from Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 37, Stephen will confront the high priest council in Jerusalem, and he'll do it by comparing their refusal to accept Christ as the Messiah to all the other times that Israel rejected those who God had sent to deliver them. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the hope of a witnessing church is in God's faithfulness throughout history. The knowledge of a witnessing church is in God's Word. The timing of a witnessing church is now, and the goal is to bring others to Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We need to realize this when we're sharing, that some people will think you're nuts for just being a Christian. They don't understand. And besides that, it's a spiritual problem. You are in the light, they are in darkness. You have peace, they don't. You don't worry, that's all they do. You make them nervous. Just love them. They already think you're nuts for a lot of other reasons, probably. So why not be nutty for a great thing? Don't lose patience in your sharing. And they're going to resist you. Jesus said they resisted the prophets that came before him. Jesus also said that they are a stiff-necked generation. And maybe some of the people that we're sharing with are the same way. Jesus said in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, know this, that they hated me before they hated you. He says in John 15, 25, this, all of this has happened so that it might be fulfilled by the scripture that says they have hated me without a cause. Isn't that amazing? Listen, be strong. Please be strong. Don't be so weak as to think that when you give somebody Jesus Christ and they draw their curtains or tell you to get off their doorstep or to get away from them, don't shrivel up in a little ball and die in the corner. Don't take it so personal. You are an ambassador for Christ. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. That is, you are to go out into the world and bring people to Jesus, and not everybody will come. But don't take it so personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. Cheer up. Remember this, that the people so often that we share with, James chapter 2, verse 26, says that they are like this. They are bodies. He says that the body without the spirit, it is dead. And they're dead. They can sit in church. Maybe they're invited. They sleep through everything. They'll hear a message on TV by Billy Graham. It doesn't affect them at all. They're just dead. Time will come. The end of the world will come, or the rapture will come, or death will come, and they've been dead. The scripture says that those that are not Christians, that do not have God in their hearts, are dead while they yet live. And it's our heart that they come to him, and we share the Lord with them. Third point. The hope of a witnessing church is found in verses 17 and 19. The hope that is in, or that is of, a witnessing church. Look at this, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had shown to Abraham, The people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. The hope of a witnessing church. Understand this. If you are receiving adversity, Stephen's point is, you know, these people were called of God and yet they still had adversity. Their babies were being killed. And little Moses, you know, the Bible says about Moses, he was the cutest baby in the world. Now, for the Holy Spirit to write in the Bible that this baby's cute, he must have been a doll. But mom and dad had him for 3 months, put him in a little ark out into the water. Pharaoh's daughter finds him, loves him like her own. We need to realize that there's hope in what we're doing. Listen, cheer up. Because you're receiving adversity does not mean that God is not with you. And I cite the early chapters of Job. We have gotten so goofed up in our theology. We start thinking, oh man, bad things are happening to that family. God must be angry with them. That is sick. Do you realize that's sick? You can turn on a certain so-called Christian radio TV show and get that trash. Oh, if you love God and if you're walking with God, you'll be rich, brother. No adversity in your life. You're the king's kid and you deserve the best. I can't... Oh, man. But they talk about how, you know, you and I... There's a chance that all of us don't drive Cadillacs in here or Beamers or whatever. Not all of us drive them. But if you watch that TV show, they'll tell you there's something wrong with you if you don't drive one. And this one guy said, look, I got a Rolls Royce and a Learjet. I can't help it. It's the Lord on me. Well, the Lord's been on me before, and I've never gotten a Learjet. I mean, I've had the opportunity to lead people to Christ in Russia on the street corner in Moscow and baptize people in St. Petersburg, Russia, and all kinds of stuff. And I know the Lord was on me, but I didn't get to fly home in a Learjet. And as much as I look at my car, it's not a Rolls Royce. Job, one of the greatest lovers of God who ever lived, God says up in heaven, Satan comes by and says, you know, hi, how's it going? And God says, pretty good. You ever see that guy Job? Check him out. He's awesome. Guy loves me. I love, God brags about us in heaven. Isn't that neat? Hey, Satan, you seen Job? Yeah, I've seen the guy. You bless him so much. That's why he loves you. You've blessed his life. And God says, oh, I tell you what, watch this. You go rip into him, but don't take his life from him. And he's not going to curse me. I'll show you what he's made out of. And Satan comes down to Job's life. And listen, cheer up. Have you been so sick that you've sat in an ash heap and scraped boils and pus from your skin with blades like he did? And yet not curse God or get angry with God? Job did that. How many of you have 10 kids and had them all killed in the same day? Job did. How many of you have been the wealthiest men on earth and lose it all? Job did. And never, not once, did he ever curse God and give up on God. The adversity that you might be experiencing right now may be a God sent from heaven, and I know it hurts. You see, that's what trials are all about. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be a trial. It'd be a picnic. And those of you who are Christians, you go through trials. Trials are made for believers. They're custom made for us. I don't know about you, but a while back, we were at this seaport village kind of a thing, and there's a glass blower guy. And those guys amaze me. They got that tube in their mouth. They got these funny goggles on. They got this big torch in front of them. And the guy grabs this piece of glass and he starts blowing on this thing. And he puts it into the heat and then pulls it away and molds it and adds more glass to it. Pulls it away and puts it in and starts to stretch it. And it kind of cracked me up. Because he took this blob of zero glass and made it into this seal with the ball on the end of his nose balancing this thing. And I thought, well, isn't that something? And that's exactly what God's doing to you who are in trials. He takes you and he begins to mold this blob and he heats you up in that fire and it's hot and you're screaming, I can't take this anymore. And God says, hang on. He pulls you off the flame for a moment. You have a little bit of endurance and he grabs your ear and just pulls it out here. Your leg goes the other way. Your head gets stretched. He adds something to your heart and you feel like some kind of a spastic. That's the trial. That's what it's supposed to do. And then he gets all done and he puts you on the shelf, the mantle. And you shine for him. And isn't it amazing after every trial you go through, you're a little bit more effective in your Christianity? And we are so funny because we hate the trial. We're in the midst of it. The testing can't stand it. But the moment it's over, it's like, all right. And we shine for him and we're somebody different now. Mothers here. Blows my mind. They get pregnant, going along, 8 months, 9 months. It's like, oh. And you know, you forget traveling or vacations with a mom that big because you got to stop. You'll see every gas station in the county, every gas station in the state. You got to stop every couple of minutes. And she's out there and it's hurting and she's saying things like, I'll never do this again. This is terrible. And you go into the delivery room and she's there and everything's going on. And basically, guys, you've been there. It's like, what can I do now? It's like, get out of the way. And so I've taken advantage of having a camera. And it's amazing. I've caught it on picture. We're my wife and maybe your man, you're just, you're screaming and they're biting their teeth and they got like a, it's intense. And the moment that baby's delivered, they're crying, they're laughing, there's joy. And it's like, oh, this is wonderful. God is so good. And praise. And it's just like a trial. It's just like a trial. We can't stand it. We can't stand it. And the moment it's over, it's joy. And your life has been added to. We need to realize that we have hope in him. All the things that you're going through as a witness is not without hope. And I need hope to get through this message right about now. We're running out of time. Fourth point. In verses 20 to 22, the knowledge of a witnessing church. Quickly, this is great. A little bit of background. In verses 20 to 22, it talks about how Moses at that time, being taken in to the house of Pharaoh, verse 22, it says that Moses learned and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I did some research on this and found some exciting things. First of all, Ramses II was Pharaoh at this time. He didn't have any sons. He was sonless, which is not good if you're Pharaoh. Had no sons. His daughter takes in this little boy. She takes him as herself, and Moses is in direct line to be Pharaoh. How's that? Most powerful position in the world? He was adopted right into that line, and he was in line. And for Moses to be as schooled, it says in verse 22, in the wisdom of the Egyptians meant this. He had to master chemistry. The Egyptians invented chemistry, and don't think it was slothful chemistry. It was top-notch stuff. He had to master at being an architect. That was invented in Egypt. He had to master mathematics if he was to be in the family line. He had to master civil engineering and he had to master astronomy. By the way, the Egyptians at this time determined that the earth was 93 million miles from the sun during Moses' time. Is that awesome or what? I guess if we could build pyramids, we could figure out how far the sun is from the earth. But they found that out then. They were sharp guys. They've invented embalming. We've seen a mummy in Russia, 3,700 years old mummy. And the guy, I mean, he looks tired, but he looks okay. I mean, we can't preserve people like that. We can't do it. We don't have the technology to embalm people like that. The Egyptians could do it. We've got mummies all over the world that have been deposited in museums because they mastered it. And it's a technology we haven't caught up to yet. That's amazing. Don't despise your background in witnessing to people. Don't despise. You may be an ex-corporate executive. You may be an ex-sanitation department man. It doesn't matter. God, in your life, all along the way, has been preparing you since birth. You're not some kind of a weak Christian out there that can't share with anybody. You have been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, and the very circumstances in your life God will use. All of that study, or all of that lack of study. When you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, God will use to the benefit of the kingdom. That's why He's the Redeemer. He takes what you are or what you are not, and He makes it into good. And for me, that is big time encouraging. Fifth point is the timing of a witnessing church. The timing of a witnessing church. Verse 23 to 28. But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Broke up a fight and killed the Egyptian in the process. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the rest goes on to explain. They didn't understand the timing of a witnessing church. It wasn't Moses' time. He tried to do it on his own power, and it flopped. You know, it's encouraging to us right now is that the timing for us is now. We are able now, I want you guys to be blessed by this. Number one, we are able to share the gospel in a once forbidden land, Soviet Union. You live in that time frame. I don't know how that grabs you. Maybe you're not into missions, and that's okay. But you know what? You ought to be excited that the people in Russia behind the Iron Curtain are able to hear the word of God now, because they don't take it for granted. And the other thing is, there are people coming into this church, I want you to know, who have never heard about Jesus Christ in our community. They have been brought up in a godless home. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about why is there an Easter, why is there a Christmas. And God is changing people with the truth. We are living in a time that's just like maybe starting all over again. There's people out there that don't know what's available to them. And God is moving. The timing is now. We've had some people come in here lately that are just absolutely precious to me. I love them with all of my heart. And some of them, they're not saved yet, and I love them with all of my heart. They're real bona fide people like you and I used to be, maybe. Sometimes worse. Gangbangers. Setting up hits for people. Drive-by shooting people. People selling guns and drugs people. Getting shared with the gospel on the street, getting invited to come here, coming here and hearing it and realizing, maybe not understanding everything, but realizing there's a power, the word of God. I don't understand. Something's happening to me. And they're going out and they're bringing in their friends, sometimes Satanists. That's awesome to me. And if you don't like it, then go to some glass church where everything's perfect and positive. But we want the world to come in here and accept Christ Jesus and go to heaven. And to me, that's one of the most encouraging things I have heard of late. That's this mark, that's the sign of the Holy Spirit moving. And that's exciting. The timing is now for us. Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verse 27, we don't have to worry about it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they'll follow me. Give them Jesus. Let them follow him. Acts 13:48. You ought to write this verse down. It drives a lot of people crazy. It makes me very happy. Acts 13:48 says, now when the Gentiles heard this, that is the preaching of the word, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life, they believed. Oh my gosh, Jack, is that predestination? Well, yeah, Paul the Apostle taught the doctrine of predestination. God knows who's coming to heaven. God knows who's not going to heaven. You don't. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to share Christ with everybody. And the ones who come in are the ones who have been appointed to eternal life. Those who don't come in, we're not appointed. But does that mean God sends some people to hell? Nope. Men send themselves to hell. Well, then, God sends people to heaven, doesn't he? Yep, that's true. Well, then he must send people to hell. No, that's false. God's given you the choice to choose heaven or hell. That's why, see, only a loving, righteous God can justify the existence of hell. Because he is loving and just and holy and pure, he wants you to go to heaven. My goodness, he died on the cross for you. What more do you want? But if you decide to reject that offer, then you have chosen the path of hell. And when somebody goes to hell and they're down there, they're not going to be able to blame their husband or wife or grandmother or God. They can only blame themselves because they didn't respond to such a beautiful offer. But it just so happens that those who are going to heaven, God has drawn us in by his love. The call of a witnessing church is found in verses 29 to 34, and that's point six of this, and we have one more and we'll be done. When God puts a call upon a witnessing church, the point is this: when God witnesses now in this world, he uses you. He uses you. And you may be a quiet woman, you may be a quiet man, but there will come a point in your lifetime when you'll just simply, quietly, maybe it doesn't seem like a big deal to you, where you'll share the peace that you have in Christ with someone. Because God has called you and ordained you. He said in John 15, 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And we need to follow him and just rest in that. And then finally this, point number seven, and we'll be done, in verses 35 to 37, is the goal of a witnessing church. And that's obvious, and that is to bring people to Christ. That is our goal. In Matthew 5, 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is therefore now good for nothing and thrown aside." We need to be salty. By being salty, we will accomplish our goal as a church. We need to be separated from the world and that we don't get affected by their sin, but we need to be right in the middle of the world, sharing with them. Thank God that not everybody's a pastor. The earth would be such a boring place. It's awesome that God has his ministers in every bit of business, in every bit of home life, in every bit of place. The goal is to bring them to the Lord. Our goal this morning, though this message is basically directed to the church, is to get you to come to faith in Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we're giving God a witness for Christ to the world. A Witnessing Church, Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I understand you're planning a very special event coming up early next year.
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel. It begins March 24th, and it ends on April 4th, 2019. Israel in the spring, there's nothing like it. For more information, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And just click on the banner there labeled Israel 2019. Signups will begin on Saturday, August 4th at 12 noon Pacific time. But do go to the website there, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the banner labeled Israel 2019 for more information. But be advised, it's going to fill up quick, friends. And you can sign up at that time on Saturday, August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.